Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. So glad to be here today. I'm so glad it's raining and it's summertime. It's our rainy season. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm doing good.
How much rain did you get last night?
I don't think we got as much as you all did, but we did get some rain. So,
well, I woke up to that there was some damage from the rain in Orlando last night, but they never said what damage it was. But downtown Orlando got 2.96 inches, almost 3 inches of rain.
Oh, wow.
And Lake Mary got almost 3 inches of rain, 2.86. Claremont got 2.5 inches, and Mount Verd got 2.5 inches. And so that's quite a bit.
I know, and this is horrible for me to say, but this week we didn't get any rain until like yesterday. So what was it, maybe Tuesday? I actually had to go through and water my bell peppers and stuff and my lemon balm because that's about the only thing that's lasted through this horrific weather that we've had all summer. But yeah. It was crazy. I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm like, don't water so the roots grow longer. And I'm like,
oh, no, not with annuals.
Oh, my. Yeah. My lemon balm and my lemon balm was just like
please
scream. Yes,
me.
Literally.
Oh, we need more water. And so, yeah, it's difficult. And I understand. Right. This is where just a little rain gauge or a little bucket, a little tuna fish can be tremendously helpful to know how much rain you got, because you could be looking at across the street and it's pouring and you're not getting anything, so you need to water. But then there's also, it has a downpour, big raindrops, and it's only like a 16th of an inch.
Facts. Try to explain that to somebody either new to Florida or somebody who is just visiting Florida first time.
We got enough rain. Well, no, we didn't. And, you know, Orlando's right in the center of the state. So the East Coast and the West Coast, those of you down in Venice and St. Petersburg and Tampa, you know, are needing a little bit of rain. But I think we're catching up. But this week, Gainesville, Winter Haven, Miami, Key West, we're going to have another additional rain every day this week. So it really is helpful to not turn your irrigation system on. And so, Lizzie, do you know what the dog days of summer are?
Yes, I've heard it. Yeah. I could have used that verbiage probably a couple of years ago, but yeah, somehow it's wiped out.
I think I've mentioned it in the past, but it's just a reference to the dog days of summer as being hot and sultry days. Historically, the period followed the sun rising system of Sirius, known colloquially as the dog star. Oh. So when you're looking up at the stars, it's the dog star. So that's Greek astrology connected the dog star with heat and drought, sudden thunderstorms, lethargy. We all know what lethargy is, especially in the heat. Oh, my God, with the humidity. Fever, mad dogs, and bad luck. So, you know, I can relate to that. But it's usually used for the hottest, most uncomfortable part of summer in the Northern Hemisphere. Thank goodness for Mr. Carrier and air conditioning, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we can get out of the heat, and you don't want to be out there in a long time. And I can stand the heat for a little while, and our landscapes can stand it for a little while, but we definitely need the rain. And this is going to replenish our aquifer. So this is what we need. This is, you know, I'd rather have rain every day than big storms, and I won't say the word.
Yes.
And so with this heat, I think of March and springtime, Lizzie. I am planning a garden tour for Philadelphia for the flower show in March.
Yes.
This would be a lovely time of the year to go up there. If you're a garden enthusiast like me, and if you love touring beautiful gardens, getting inspiration for your own yards, because as a landscape designer, that's what I do, is that I travel and look at what other people have done, or look at these big floral displays and say, we can do that in Florida. And so we are going March 7th through the 10th to the Philadelphia Flower Show. It's going to be a magical tour. We're going to visit the palatial Longwood Gardens, which started 300 years ago. And it was bought by the American industrialist DuPont, Pierre S. DuPont, in 1906. And he bought it to save the trees on the property. They were going to be cut down, and he bought it and just started making an arboretum. And the Longwood Gardens feature magnificent Italian water garden fountains. They have like all these fountains together in this one garden, formal garden, and you can do a concert with the movement of the water. It's just beautiful. They have Follies, which are classical ruins, Greek and Roman ruins. And so that these are typical classical architectural features. And Meadows, and then their world-famous conservatory is just breathtaking. We're also going to go on a private tour of the North View Gardens. And this is home of the garden historian and educator. She's my friend, Jenny Rose Carey. She opens up her house, and the acres that she has are beautiful. And you know my big teapot? You know my big teapot? And the big one that's like 4 foot tall, that was taken at Northview Gardens. And so if you have never been on a garden tour, think about coming with me and enjoying all these tours and visiting all these places. It should be on your bouquet list, and that's spelled B-U-C-K-E-T, bouquet list. All right. And so we have a new segment in the second half of our hour this morning. I can't wait to get to it. And we also have Dana Venrick with Quality Green Specialist coming up. We can't fertilize right now, but we can add soil amendments, and he's going to tell us what those are. If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you're interested in going to the greatest flower show in the United States with me and the rest of our garden tour, then you can go to my website, she-consulting.com or artinbloomgardentours.com. And you can get more information, and I'd love for you to join us.
I was going to ask that because that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You got to go with me one year. We'll just do a show on the road there. And so with us right now is Dana Venrick. Dana Venrick is the owner of Quality Green Specialist Nursery, which is in DeLand, and it is a fabulous nursery. And Dana, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good. Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am fine. And a little bird told me that it is your birthday today.
Well, it was yesterday.
Yesterday. Oh, well, we still got time to.
It was fun because I had no idea. Overnight, some little gnome came in here and put a big banner, happy birthday.
Well, congratulations.
And all kind of goodies and desserts. It was fun.
Oh, well, congratulations. That is a treat. I'm so glad that you were able to celebrate it. And so the dog days of summer are here. It's hot, and we are not allowed to fertilize because of the stormwater pollution and what fertilizer runoff does in our waters and our water bodies. So we've got about 6 more weeks till we can fertilize, Dana. So what can we do to help our lawns, you know, hold on to moisture and add nutrients without fertilizing?
Well, yeah, Teresa, but first of all, we are still allowed to trim a little and do a little manicuring and pull weeds. There's always weeds to pull, especially with all this heat and rain.
Yes.
But anyway, we put special organic nutrients, you know, to keep the soil healthy, to keep the microorganisms healthy and keeping the soil full of ionic materials and a fertilizer that the plants can take up. But we use things for nitrogen like fish mulch and alfalfa meal. More about that later. And for, you know, the phosphorus, if we need phosphorus to promote more bloom sometimes and health of the roots, we'll use bone meal. And we use black humate for the carbon, available carbon that's sequestered as humic and fulvic acids in a material we call black humate or black cume.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from Georgia in an old, you know, peat bog where it's been there for probably millions of years and has high amounts of available carbon as humic and fulvic acids. And the azomite, the volcanic pumice, is a great material for all types of trace minerals, 70 in all, high in bioavailable silicon that the microbes love and give a lot of silicon to the plant for the structure of the plant along with calcium.
Well, azomite is a really great product, and of course all the other ingredients and elements that you mentioned there. But what is OMRI? OMRI. When people see what should they know about that?
Well, they should know that stands for Organic Materials Review Institute, and they're the top authority for saying this product is acceptable for use in organic production, organic applications, and or it's restricted, or it can be used, judiciously if you have a soil test to back up the need. But it's very helpful to make sure we have good, safe, wholesome food that's well mineralized, not just empty calorie food that a lot of times you'll get unless it's OMRI listed. You are insured of a better quality food with better minerals for your health.
So is azomite listed with OMRI?
It is. It's got the label right on there. It's got the stamp of OMRI right on the bag of azomite, which is a great plus because you know it's safe for people and pets and for the soil and for the microbes that really digest the minerals and make them available to the roots.
So these microorganisms, these good ecosystems that have the microorganisms in it, what you mentioned phosphorus. Now, don't we have a lot of phosphorus in our soils here in Florida?
We do, but a lot of plants, especially fruiting and flowering plants, consume large amounts, and they take up large amounts of phosphorus. But we keep the phosphorus low. In some cases like that, though, we'll put on bone meal or superphosphate, bone meal for organic applications.
Mm-hmm.
But the only time of year you really have a high demand for phosphorus in most cases is early in the crop cycle or early in the year, and then you want to put it on early at a low rate because phosphorus is just not needed nearly as much as nitrogen or particularly potassium. That's why your middle number should be low. We have some phosphorus, but we keep it low in all our fertilizers. The maximum we use is a 2% of the 727 special for blueberries and azaleas in low pH situations to keep the soil more acidic, or if the pH is really high, it's great to give release in spite of that high pH with that acidic release characteristic.
Well, you have a product called Agrifos, and so what does that do?
Well, that gives you the combination of phosphorus and phosphoric acid, which are two forms of phosphorus. Phosphoric is nutritional. It's taken up and it's metabolized in the Krebs cycle, the energy cycle of a plant to give health and nutrition. The other one, the phosphorus acid, is like another form that's not a nutritional form that's good for stopping fungi in the soil. It's great to stop water molds like Phytophthora and Pythium, but it can't be digested, but it's wonderful for stopping root diseases.
Okay, so what time of the year then? That should be applied then in spring too, so that it's available to the plant before a rainy season.
Well, yeah, but the phosphite can, or that form, you know, Agrifos can be applied any time of year, especially in the summer. It's good when you have all that rain, you have so much chance of a water mold.
There you go. I can see that. So how is the Agrifos applied? And the azomite, how is it applied to plants? What does the homeowner do with it?
Well, you want to put it around the root zone, you know, about an ounce per gallon of water if in a liquid form, you know, and then drench the soil. You know, it's great, you know, to stop. It'll do as good a job as anything based on the research by the University of Florida to stop the root diseases like Pythium mm-hmm. and Phytophthora and others like Rhizoctonia.
So you also carry black cume, which you mentioned just briefly there, and this is a soil from out west. How does black cume benefit Florida landscapes?
Well, the azomite comes from out west, but the black cumate comes from Georgia, from a peat bog in Georgia.
Okay.
That's got a combination of terrestrial and marine products, you know, from over the ages. And it's digested, well-digested carbon that's bioavailable as humic and fulvic acids. Fulvic acid is amazing. It's high in fulvic acid. It'll hold in other minerals and ions 60 times its molecular weight. It's incredible. We as humans can only hold maybe twice our weight, but those little molecules can hold 60 times their weight and hold them in exchange and release them to the plant roots as the plant needs them. It's incredible material that really enhances any fertilizer program.
That's pretty cool. Okay, so the azomite's from out west, and I don't think of Georgia as having bogs. I just got back from Ireland, and I was looking at the bogs they have over there. And so the black cume comes from Georgia. That's
Georgia,
great.
Right. By the way, I'm working on a vegan organic fertilizer. It's going to have alfalfa meal as a nitrogen source. And it has a great growth stimulator called tricontinol, and it is great, you know, for root growth. It stimulates flowers, and it's got a lot of benefits along with other organics like bone meal, potassium, magnesium sulfate that's naturally mined, the azomite, volcanic pomace, and then the black cumate.
Wow.
But
and that's
we're having
what are you calling that?
With that research.
What are you calling that?
Well,
it's a
we're
vegan?
Going to call it a vegan special, 215.
Wow, that's pretty cool, 215. Okay, and so we're talking to Dana Venrick. He's the owner of Quality Green Specialist Nursery. Dana, one of your other products that you have on site that people can get is blackstrap molasses. How does molasses help plants?
Well, it's got such a tremendous a bioavailable source of minerals and micronutrients like iron and copper and zinc. And it's got bioavailable, large amounts of bioavailable potassium, a little bit of nitrogen. And it's got, you know, beneficial microorganisms, the things that really make things available in the soil. And it goes well, you know, using combination with the other things we're talking about, like the potassium, magnesium sulfate, the azomite, the black cumin.
All together.
Yeah, and so you have wonderful results when you blend everything. And it should be based on a soil test. Then you can tailor it to putting more of this or less of that or none of something else so that you have, like, the perfect diet for your soil, for the microbes that make everything available.
Yes, that a soil test is necessary. And they're recommending, Dana, that you do it every year. So does the soil change every year?
It does change some, not less than every 2 years. The best is every year at a consistent time so that you have like a standard to go by. And be sure you use a little borax or boron very lightly twice a year, once early, like January or February, not later than March. That's the only time you have a really high demand for boron. And you don't want to overuse it because you only need like 1 to 4 part per million in your soil.
Wow.
And then a little bit in the fall, just twice a year. But that is very important because if you don't have it, then you'll get, you know, gumming of the branches and dieback.
Wow.
If you put too much.
Dana, I've got a hard break here. Thank you so much. Real quickly, tell us where you're located.
335 West Michigan Avenue. Come by. We love to talk with you. We have a lot of room for you, and we have
thank you, Dana. Happy birthday. We're going to be right back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. If it's Saturday morning, you're with us here from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I wanted to give Dana Venrick's Quality Green Specialist Nursery's address out again, and that is 335 West Michigan Street, DeLand. And he is a sponsor of our program, so we really do appreciate him. He's got great products there. And the soil amendments you should be able to put down right now, and it will add, just to amend the soil, the sandy soils that we have, or any of your raised beds, it would be great. And I do appreciate him coming on and letting us know that and having the products available. If you have a gardening question, this is the time to call 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. Let us know our text line is working, and we'd love to hear from you. And so last week, we didn't get to all the calls and all of the questions that we had last week. And we did have one text who wanted to know, they said, let's see here, that they had sticker plants in their St. Augustine lawn.
Okay.
And how to get rid of them. And these are the dreaded sandspurs. They were the bane of our childhood, Lizzie, weren't they?
Oh, yes, definitely. There was no running through your yard barefooted.
Barefoot. And with all of the grasses and bahia grass especially. And so they wanted to know, how do they get rid of it? And the best way to get rid of, you know, any weed is to have a good, healthy, dense lawn. And by that, I mean a lawn that is not overwatered, that is in the right site conditions, so that if you have turf, that it's in full sun, and that you're, you know, keeping the nutrients up, so you're fertilizing it, you're getting a soil test on a regular basis. But also, too, when you start to get sandspurs, and these are spread by animals, you know, the dogs running through your yard, or, you know, possums and raccoons, or even just blown by the wind, the sandspurs with the tires from your car, it will spread them. And so the best way to get rid of them is to apply a pre-emergent. And you can do that in the fall, but you should especially do it in the springtime. So sandspurs, they are an annual weed. And so they're going to die out and you're not going to see them, but all of their seeds, those sandspurs are seeds, will germinate next year. So you want to make sure that if you do have sandspurs, you are bagging your clippings. Don't mow your grass and then leave all those clippings in the ground, because then you're just putting the seeds back in the ground and they'll come back next year.
Right, exactly. I remember on a Saturday, that was part of the ritual when we did have a lot of sandspurs on our property. It was usually fall and stuff. So, but yeah, Saturdays were the day to get up, and you went out and you actually picked and pulled it up and made sure none of them fell, and they went into a garbage bag or into the wheelbarrow, you know, and
yes,
then we would put it either on the burn pile and burn it, or we would bag it and garbage it. So
yes, no, I remember that too. That was one of the things, you just had to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So right now you can't put an herbicide down, so no weed and feeds, no herbicides down right now, because it's too hot. And the weeds are usually stronger than your grass. And putting an herbicide down on temperatures that are over 85 degrees, you are going to damage your grass. So this is not the time. We've got about 6 more weeks. You can wait for that and put a pre-emergent down. But next spring, just make a note of it. Just next spring, you want to do a pre-emergent. Now, if you do have it, there are products you can get for it. Scott's Halt, H-A-L-T, will get rid of them. And then also Ike's a sandspur and crabgrass preventer. But you put those down in the springtime, not right now. So there are products that you can use. Just put it on your calendar, but make sure your lawn is nice and healthy. And overwatering is one of the worst ways to, or is one of the best ways to get weeds. Okay, so you will get that.
And those that are in Lakeland, you guys go by and see Peterson's Nursery, because this is the last time of the year for repotting your orchids. They're 10 to noon only. Bring up to 2 plants. That's it.
That's so nice of them to
love
do that.
I love that.
That is a great service.
Yeah, and it's funny because you don't really think about something like that. So, yeah, this is the last time, 10 to noon, Peterson's nursery, get there.
I was at a client's house yesterday, and they had orchids, and they had all these dead branch or dead stems on them. And, you know, you just got to, you know, pull those off and just go ahead and refresh them for the wintertime. Because when we start to get these 20 or getting into fall with cooler temperatures, orchids, certain varieties of orchids will germinate when we have a 20-degree temperature change. And they've got that up north right now. Did you see the beautiful temperatures up north right now?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's fall.
Yes, I know. We still haven't made it to Maine yet. But, I digress. So now I got a question. I actually have to ask Tony, your husband, this question, okay?
Okay.
Does Teresa go to people's houses for either a party or a dinner, and does she look at people's plants and walk over and try to fix the situation like those orchids? Does she pull off the dead branches? Tony, you have to text us and let us know, because that's all I can see is picture is Teresa walking around, not judging,
no,
but trying
I don't
to
judge.
Help.
Yeah, no, if I'll see something, yeah, I will. And I used to have a habit of coming in and, you know, saying, oh, you know, pulling weeds and stuff when I would go visit.
Gosh.
And then I thought, oh no, what an insult that I'm looking at their weeds and not their yard. And so, yeah, it's hard not to see it.
How long did it take you to get out of that habit?
It took me a few years.
I was going to say, Tony be like, ah, geez, stop bending over and picking up people's weeds, lady.
And I actually read an article the name just escaped me, just was on the tip of my tongue, a great gardener in England. And he said, don't look at the weeds, look at the plants in the landscape and enjoy them. Don't, you know, and so I took that to heart.
Oh, that's a good.
And I do not judge people's yards. You know, I mean, oh my goodness, the cobbler's children have no shoes. Okay, there's sometimes my yard is a mess.
You know what? You can go ahead and judge all you want. That's all I'm saying. You know, you're out there, you're helping people as it is. It's the same way whenever I would be forced to go listen to the sixth grade first band recital at the beginning of the year. I literally would dig my claws into Shrek, my husband, his leg, whenever they would hit the wrong notes. I'm like, why are we being tortured? Our kids are doing very horrible right now. Yay for them for being brave enough. But yeah, Teresa out there pulling people's weeds. That is awesome.
It's something I do notice them, but I don't say, I try not to. I do judge yards when I'm driving by, though, because I have my, you know, the newsletter is coming out and you sent me a great post for it. So I can't wait to publish it next week. If you're not getting my newsletter, you can go onto my website, she-consulting.com, put your name and address or your email address in, and it's free. I don't spam, but I have to get, I have that one post where I talk about landscape malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper, and I got a beauty last week. Oh my goodness. Wait till the September newsletter. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment. We have a new segment coming up. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's Top 5.
And I'm starting a new segment that I'm going to have every week right at the bottom of the show of the first hour. And it's called Teresa's Top 5. And I'm going to be telling you different top 5 things, plants, issues, and all kinds of fun stuff. So I really do appreciate Lizzie and Alan for putting this together for me. I just, real briefly, so you can just put it in your head and start thinking about it. And my top 5 this week is the top 5 landscape plants to add color. To add color, one of the best plants to do that is crotons. Okay, crotons are Cotium variegatum, and they have beautiful colors, orange, yellow, red, orange, black, burgundy. Beautiful color to add. My next one is coleuses. Coleuses can be chartreuse, burgundy, sienna, all different kinds of greens and purples. And coleus adds a lot of color. So both crotons and coleuses can grow in the shade. My next is C. maho. M-A-H-O-E. And it is Hibiscus talasius. And Sea Maho has cream and peach and burgundy and orange leaves. These are gorgeous with yellow flowers. Great color for the yard. Next one is a rubber plant. Now, you don't think of a rubber plant as being outside, but indoors, but it also grows outside, and it can grow very large. For color, Ficus variegata, ruby, and tinicae. T-I-N-E-K-E, tinicae. Ficus variegata. And my last one, my top five, copperleaf, Acalypha wilkensian. And this is a beautiful plant that has oranges, reds, burgundies, all different kinds of colors for your yard. It's a nice shrub. It will get, it stays about 3 to 5 feet tall. Great plant. So my top five landscape plants to add color: crotons, coleuses, sea maho, rubber plants, and copperleafs.
Excellent.
There you go. See, that's very easy. So people who are wanting to add color to their landscape can add those. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Thank you, JAC from Cocoa Beach. And does solarization to remove root node nematodes destroy beneficial organisms? Well, JAC, the good news is that they don't. And so I'm just going to tell you, from the University of Maine, they just did a soil research, and a soil microbiome consists of tiny organisms such as bacteria, archaeas, fungi, and protists that impact plant life. They are beneficial. They decompose organic molecules, and they render them usable by the plants. So the solarization kills weeds and bad microbes, pest issues, all the bad bugs, the nematodes, all of the insects, the disease, pest issues, kills those. But the study was successful, and it said that they measured all of the group, and the good news was field solarization, or just solarization of your garden beds, does not harm any of the four groups of beneficial molecules. So microbes. And so that is good news.
Yes, it is. 100%.
If you are having weeds in your yard in certain areas, or you've got a raised bed that got weeds last year, go ahead and solarize it. We still have a few weeks left that you can put the solar, plastic down for about 6 to 8 weeks, and you still have the hot temperatures. So 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. And we just want to welcome all of our new listeners. We're getting quite a bit. And on our Facebook page, thank you so much, Lori and Jeannie, and even a Stan. Stan, thank you so much for signing up.
Definitely. I'm excited to have the new listeners. I'm excited they'd like to chime in. We are 100% into you guys texting us and giving us a call.
And tell your neighbors. Tell your neighbors that come over and give you gardening advice, and just let them know that you listen to Better Lawns and Gardens, and they should too. That would be really helpful.
What are you drinking today, Teresa?
I'm drinking my tea.
Ooh.
I love my tea.
That is awesome.
Yes, a good cup of tea. And the rain is so good to have a cup of tea weather in. And so what kind of vegetables can you be planting right now? You should already have the head start on your tomatoes and eggplants and peppers. They should be going strong. They should be up about 2 to 3 inches right now and getting ready for the fall season. Cantaloupes, collards, corn, and cucumbers too as well. Lima beans and okra. Pepper and pumpkins, still plant those. Snap beans, southern peas, squash, and you can still plant watermelon right now. For the herbs do pretty well here. Sometimes it gets a little hot in the summertime for them, but you can grow them in the shade then. And I keep my herbs in pots and just put them in the shade. So you can grow anise and basil, bay laurel and cardamom, chives and Cuban oregano, cumin, dill, ginger, lemon balm, and lemongrass. And you've got some great pictures coming up, too, with your post, Lizzie, in the next newsletter. I loved your pictures.
Thank
they were
you.
Great.
Thank
they,
you.
They look really creepy. Mexican tarragon, mint, oregano, rosemary and sage, sweet marjoram, thyme, and turmeric. You know, turmeric is so good for the body, and you can make teas out of it. You can make, you know, you can put it into food, and it's so healthy for you.
Now, I've got a question. You're talking about planting the herbs. So I've gone through and planted thyme like 3 or 4 times, and they're kind of a shaded area. Uh-huh. And I end up with caterpillars that are starving, like they live in Ethiopia, and they're gone. Like my thyme is gone. Literally, the plant thyme is gone within 5 seconds. I mean, I'll walk away and come back, and there's nothing but strands.
Okay, so you have them outside. Do you have lights outside at night?
Not where they are at.
But there are moths in your yard.
I'm assuming, yes.
Yeah, because where there's night lights, and then you get the moths and they lay the, you know, they're the larva of the moth is what can eat. Now, also, too, we're still dealing with lubber grasshoppers. You know how I hate those. And so you don't have lubber grasshoppers in your yard, do you?
No, believe it or not, I really don't. I mean, it's been good years fear. Since I've had them. So.
Oh, excellent.
But I mean, it's
do you
like,
still have amaryllis?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't looked.
Okay.
But I literally will turn my back and then come back a couple hours later and the thyme is gone. I'm like, what was planted here? These are strings now. And I then, yeah, so I've seen the caterpillars.
I'm
after
so
that.
Sorry.
It's ridiculous.
I'm so sorry. If you would like to give us a gardening question, the next hour is all about you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Have a great, we're just having a great week for rain this week. I would prefer to have all this rain just in the afternoons, in the late hours, after we've been out all day. It cools it off for the nighttime.
Yes.
And we love that. And then lightning. I have some great gardening questions coming up. Beverly in Tallahassee's got a great question. Rebecca in Citrus Springs, we got question. We're going to be answering her questions. And I'm going to be talking about all the things that everyone calls about.
I love that. You know, and the thing is that this is kind of like, in my mind, it's going to be a kind of a rainy, dreary kind of weekend, maybe, you yeah. think?
See, I don't think of rain as being dreary. I love rain. In Scotland, you know, the rain, it's so good for you. It's a good cup of tea weather. That's what
it's nice
it.
For your hair, because I will tell you that if I get caught out in the rain and then after it's dried, my hair is super soft. And I'm
isn't
like,
it?
Well, we should bottle this.
You know, and then also, too, after the rain, you can look and see that your grass is greener.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the lightning... It attaches the clusters of nitrogen in the air that get, you know, combined with the lightning. It's like fertilizing your yard.
Oh,
that's
look
pretty
at
cool.
You. And also slugs and snails go absolutely nuts. So then I'm able to pluck them.
You can find them. They come out.
They come out
wherever you are.
I pluck them and I throw them to the turkeys.
There you go. That's great. So Susan in Tallahassee real quickly said, does solarization kill torpedo grass? Is there a selective herbicide that can be used for that? Yes, there is. And, you want to go ahead. Solarization will not kill torpedo grass because usually it's in areas with a lot of water and shoreline areas, and it's hard to solarize those areas. But you can get a product. You want to make sure that torpedo grass is on the label real quick. So we appreciate everyone. Thank you to Dana Venrick, Quality Green Specialist Nursery. For coming on and telling us about the soil amendments we can add. And so we will be back for another hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. It's Saturday morning. You're here with us, Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.